It's all golden to me.
It's my dream to have a golden beard.
Younger but looks older.
I'll even try a squat. Here we go. The 6 of clubs.
The golden.
Welcome to another episode of Talk Golden to Me. I'll say it again. You are here at Talk Golden to Me. Your host, Evan Golden, Golden TV. As always, our studios are in the law offices of Berman & Berman. Today, we have a special guest. He is a one-man show. He's a stand-up comedian. He's a writer. He is an author. He is a director. But we brought him on here specifically for one reason only. As you're getting to know me, you know that I love mischievous. I love to sometimes misbehave. I don't know if it's the Scorpio in me or what has kind of drove me just to kind of be a little bit on that side of the wrong. But our stand-up comedian Steve Marshall is in the house, and he's created the Don't Behave philosophy. So you're going to have to stay tuned to find out exactly what this Don't Behave philosophy actually is, what it stands for. Should we be doing it? Should we be living it? Steve Marshall, a one-man show, comedian, actor, stand-up writer. I mean, if there's a title under entertainment, I think you kind of have that under your label now.
Yeah, it just took me a very long time to just become Steve Marshall, though. That's really what it's about.
The Steve Marshall. So awesome. Thank you for joining us. We're excited to have you here. Let's just get right into why you're here. Besides we get into the entertainment side, which I think it all coincides, and I think it all kind of comes together with your stand-up and your one-man show, but the Don't Behave philosophy. I love to misbehave. Tell me
I think that misbehaving is part of human nature, and it's healthy. And just like we have things that are called checks and balances or yin and yang, if you're behaving all the time, I think a little bit of misbehaving balances that out. If you know anyone that is a policeman or policewoman or a fire person, fireman or firewoman, or anybody that has a dangerous job, they usually have the sickest sense of humor. And I think that's the way that they burn off steam. And a little misbehaving, certainly, if you want to meet a woman or flirting is misbehaving, isn't it? You have to misbehave a little. You have to push the boundaries a little. So I think misbehaving is something that, again, puts us back in balance. And also what it really means, when I say don't behave, I really mean don't behave like him. Behave like you. We've got a whole environment that tells us to be different, to be unique. You watch ads on the Super Bowl. I think the Volvo car ad was be unique and be different. And then the second you're unique and different, people hate you. But it's the key to finding out who you really are. Here's another thing. If you don't misbehave, how are you going to find out who you are? It's almost like a child has to test the stove to see if it's on or it's off. How are you going to find out who you are if you're always behaving? You're not. And that's what Don't Behave is all about. It's misbehaving to find out who your authentic self is.
When did you discover this philosophy and incorporate this? Have you been always kind of misbehaving?
Well, according to my parents, I was. I remember sitting it just sort of comes naturally. In other words,
I disagree. I think what you're saying is the hardest thing for people. I think that they're sheep and they're not lion, the people, and people are not natural born leaders. They're followers.
People tend to conform, and don't behave means don't conform. So you go to the self-help section and you want to find out a book on how to be yourself, or you do Tony Robbins and you want to awaken the giant within, but then you don't. You're right. You just end up conforming. It wasn't working for me behaving like the other kids. I didn't feel like the other kids. My motivations were not the other kids. For instance, we have all this bullying. I've never had an interest ever in my life to bully someone. Have I pranked them? Have I made fun of them a little? But I was telling one of the producers of the show, right? I was telling him, listen, I met someone in the, you were asking me, there was a beautiful young lady in the waiting room here. And I met her, and you start talking and you start misbehaving a little. But if the person gives you the sign to back off, you back off, right? You back off. What's with these bullies? They just keep going forward. And I just grew up in Brooklyn, New York, in Flatbush, in a public school environment. I hated being picked on. And psychologists will tell you when you're abused, there's a 50% chance you will grow up to be an abuser. or you will have empathy. And I went with empathy, and I think that's not behaving also. Being kind is not behaving.
Yeah, I think it's important to understand what the philosophy that Steve Marshall is talking about. When he says don't behave, it's to a certain level. We're not talking to the extreme.
We're not talking about being malicious.
Exactly.
In fact, being kind is not behaving. How about this? In this tremendous world of hate that we live in today, where we put on the TV and all we hear is hate, so to not behave in that environment would be to love more.
I agree. Look, if you watch any, that's why I don't watch the news, because all they show is negativity and accidents and injuries, and it's interesting. But I think what you're saying is the way people should be living their life. But it's very hard with social media and kind of presenting yourself as someone you may not be, or being jealous of people. I think that a lot of people don't want to see other people win or be successful. There's a lot of, I don't want to say hatred in the world, but it's very hard, your philosophy, and I appreciate you now coming on a platform to preach this philosophy, because it will get through to people and say, I don't need to be copying them. I don't need to be like this.
And also, beautiful. You don't need to copy anyone. You don't need to be like that. You have to take a risk to be yourself. It's a risk to be yourself. And I have a degree in accounting. Now, do you believe I'm Jewish? And when you would take a class, you would learn that the greater the risk, the greater the payoff, right? We're talking economically. But the same thing in your life as a human being. The greater the risk you take to be yourself, the greater the payoff of self-satisfaction. I may not make everybody happy, and believe me, I do want everyone to like me, and it's a recipe for disaster. But at the end of the day, when I go to sleep, I can go to sleep because I know I was myself. This is the most important thing in life, is to be different. We are being told now you're supposed to fit into a box, and everybody's supposed to be this way, and everybody's supposed to be politically correct and use the proper nomenclature. And that's bullshit. That's bullshit. If you come to my show, I tell ethnic jokes. I talk about sex. So did Lenny Bruce. So did Richard Pryor. It's a way of breaking the ice about topics that people... my friend said to me, you are so uninhibited, and it relaxed me. All these rules are just making us uptight, and we're so uptight, and we're so afraid to say anything. I mean, we've got... I don't care who you voted for, but there's some things that are being said that are just wrong. They're just out and out wrong. And so many people in Congress and the Senate are afraid to say anything, because the truth is they just don't want to lose their jobs. When are we going to... We're talking about how great the economy is. When are we going to figure into the economy the human factor? All right? What if Nazi Germany had the greatest economy? So that means we should continue because the economy is great? When does the human factor... and our kindness to one another come. I don't care who you voted in. It's not all about how much money you make. If you're making a ton of money and your children are going to a private school and they're being bullied every day and they're being made fun of because their nose is too big or because they don't have the right sneakers, when are we going to stop monetizing everything and take a look at the human factor? And I know this from somebody. I wore a yarmulke to school, okay? They called it a beanie. It's not a beanie. Why don't I attach a propeller and fly over to synagogue, you know? I threw like a girl. I used to throw like this. So they used to call me faggot. They used to call me, that's what they used to call me, because I threw like a girl. They said, Marshall, you throw like a girl. I said, I know I do. My mother taught me, which was true, because my father didn't pay attention to me. A lot of the fathers in those days just worked. They didn't say I love you. I don't even know if my father knew my name.
So how are you taking then? Because look, what I love about stand-up comedy is that it's the opportunity, the platform where you do not have to be politically correct. And now you have to be politically correct in stand-up comedy. That's ridiculous that you have to almost be fearful of what you're saying or you're set. Or your
I take
people
a risk.
Are getting attacked. You see what's going on here. It's not just more, you know, hecklers. You're getting people that are actually trying to, you know, commit violence to comedians on stage based.
And destroy your life. And destroy your life. Do you understand that?
It's got to be hard to be a comedian
it's
now.
Brutal. If you go to a movie and you don't like it, all right, walk out. You don't like it. But you don't try and destroy somebody's life. We have a Yelp society now. All right, how really a restaurant is that bad? You have to write something about it. We have a society that enjoys tearing people down and destroying people. And You know what I like to say? Because people always say to me, well, you must have a hard time doing your act now. First of all, I'm not doing an act. It's what I really believe. All right. I grew up with my cousin Howard telling ethnic jokes and sex jokes, and I never hated anyone. My father never, ever said a negative word about a black person, a Puerto Rican person, a gay person. But we made jokes. No, I say this. As long as people in this country keep hating, I'll have a show. Because my show is all about people that hate and to convince them to stop hating. And I am as politically incorrect as I have ever been. Yeah, that's and I'm so if you come to my show, you're going to be hearing sex jokes, you're going to be hearing ethnic jokes, but there's humanity at the end of my joke. I think some comedians just do the jokes to be shocking, where if you really follow my train of thought, you'll see I'm getting something off my chest and I'm showing people that I want more jokes, less hate. I'm Jewish. I'm an ethnic person. What hurts ethnic people are guns. And violence and separating children from their parents.
Peace,
okay?
Love, and happiness, baby. Yeah, let's spread it.
So, more jokes and less hate.
There it is. Steve Marshall comedy. He is preaching. He might have some politician maybe in his blood right or in his career.
I've been asked a couple of times, and it's really not what I'm about, but if enough people supported me, I would run
vote Steve Marshall.
Because I think whether I won or not is not the point, but I think somebody needs to say, more love, less hate. Somebody needs to say, no woman should ever be a victim of violence from a man. No man should ever have a reason to put his hands on a woman. And I said that recently to somebody, and they joked. This was off stage, and they said, well, sometimes there's a reason. There is never a reason. First of all, I don't believe in violence against men either.
Listen,
okay.
You're preaching to the choir. Listen, everyone knows that been watching and following me that I'm a lover, not a fighter, sir.
Yeah, yeah. And at the end of the day, people are going, they're listening to this going, how is this guy funny with all this math?
That's what we want to know is how is he incorporating the don't behave philosophy and his whole kind of let's laugh and not fight and not make war into his stand-up routine. You're going to have to find out because he is right now on a national tour performing his show. It's a one-man show. We're talking sex. We're talking politics, drugs, and everything else you're going to have to see. It's so good.
Yeah, by
go-
the way, yeah, let's be careful with the drugs part only because I am not a big – I don't really use drugs. I mean, I'm very Jewish. I mean, I think I once had a girl snort Benadryl off my penis.
That's a nice one. That's a different one.
I don't know what the language requirement is on the show, too.
We'll be putting the explicit mark on this, so we're
fine.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. But you will be hearing a lot of
– congestion medicine right off the penis. Wow.
Wow, yeah, yeah. Well, I've got bad sinuses. What Jewish guy doesn't have bad sinuses?
They all do.
In the
You put if I'm Jewish, I don't do drugs. I like how you put both of those things together.
You know, I don't. You know, I think that's a lot of what art is. Art is taking things. I don't mean to be too highbrow, but art. There was a philosopher. I think his name is Hegel. Hegel, and he believed that you take things that are diametrically opposed and you collide them. And that's what I try and do. I try and take this beautiful message of love versus hate and then collide it against me talking about oral sex, ethnic jokes, making the Chinese voice in the Chinese restaurant. And I think when you collide things that seem to be opposite, there's a synergy that happens and you go, wait a second. I mean, come on, man. I mean, It's just making you more aware of what is really offensive. I always tell people the easiest way to offend somebody is not to talk about sex, not to curse. The easiest way to offend somebody is just be happy. When you're happy, you know what people are saying behind your back? Why is he so fucking happy?
Well, why can't people embrace the happiness and be happy for you that you're happy and then try to follow your path and your kind of your energy and mental... You know,
I think because
effort to happiness.
I think for lack of a better word and a trite word, we are brainwashed. And something I always say is you only know what you know. So if you grow up, so let's say, for instance, you grew up playing basketball in a family where everybody plays basketball and you go out and your father goes, you're not going out in those sneakers. How could you wear those sneakers? So the child begins to associate in order to play well at basketball, he's got to have Jordans or $150 sneakers.
Marketing, branding.
Now, the don't behave also means, don't behave means think for yourself. Now, when we were kids growing up in Brooklyn, my mother was so cheap. My mother would buy sneakers out of a bin. They were $5. I remember playing basketball in jeans and shoes. You know what I mean? We just played. I saw a thing on soccer players, and I think it might have been Pele, the great Pele. They just practiced with like melons and things. That's what they had. So we're brainwashing a society that if you want to be liked or if you want to be accepted, and I love when people say, I'm not needy, I'm not needy. They're so full of shit. Everybody's needy and everybody's hiding. They want to be liked. So they're told, if you don't drive this car, if you don't have this watch, if you don't have this house. And I always tell people in the audience, I don't care if you have a Rolex watch. I don't care if you have a Rolls Royce. I don't care if you have a $9 million house. Everybody scratches their ass, looks around, and then smells it. We're all the same.
100%. 100%. We're all putting our pants on the same way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the keeping up with the Joneses, look, you're in Boca Raton. You're in South Florida here right now. Right. So, I mean, we're
there. Let me tell you. And but here's the thing. Another way, like, the easiest thing to do is to knock Boca Raton. So I think where the misbehaving comes in. So joke, kid Boca Raton. A couple of years ago, I was in Boca Raton. It's very, very pretentious here if you don't know Boca Raton. And I went to Thanksgiving. The turkey had breast implants. I said, how much does the bird weigh? They said, it's a double D butterball, feeds eight. So in Jewish, you don't have to be Jewish. It's called kibitzing. It's called kibitzing. We make fun. We kibitz. We joke with each other. And I think, again, that brings everybody on a – what do you think about this?
Well,
everybody on a level ground.
Well, I think if you took that joke to the next step and you started talking about white meat or dark meat, that's where you lose the audience.
Well, listen, I'm going to tell you now, I've eaten a lot of dark meat.
Wow, good for you. Dip in that chocolate.
Yeah, no, I love – listen, I love black people. Because black people have always been good to me. Black people are inclusive, not exclusive. I hate this thing like – when you go to a club and now there's a VIP section and all these velvet ropes and all these, they pick you at the door whether you're good enough to come in. So I would go play basketball. I still play street basketball. And all the white kids, I'd ask them, oh, can I play with you? And they go, oh, no, we got ours. But they don't have theirs. They have, you know, it's 3-on-3 and they have
two. Well, don't
two.
They know you throw like a girl?
Well, I play ball well now.
Oh.
See? That motivated me.
Okay.
Was like in Citizen Kane, Rosebud the Sled. Those kids picked on me so much and treated me so much like I was effeminate and treated me so much that there was something wrong with me because I couldn't throw, that I started lifting weights when I was 13 years old. I became very good at basketball. I made the football team, and I'm a kung fu practitioner, and I fought full contact a couple of years in the ring, and it motivated me. I pushed back against it. However, it came a point where I still had to realize that even though people bullied me, don't give up who you are. I'm still kind. I'm not an alpha male. I never fought in the ring to viciously hurt anyone. I just wanted to show my skills. So we also have to be careful what we push back against.
Well, that's what you were saying earlier. I think that you made the right choice where some people that have been bullied or abused are gonna return the favor, which you didn't go with that route.
Yeah, there was a movie, it was called The Imagination Game. I don't know if anybody saw
that one.
And the movie was about a guy who came up with, he created the computer because they were trying to decode things during World War II.
He's Googling it now, the producer. I know he's going to watch that one.
Yeah, it's great. It's called The Imagination Game. Well, he went to British boarding school, and the kids in boarding school, they picked up the boards. I don't know, they pulled them out with a hammer or some screw, and they put him underneath the floor, and they hammered him in and left him in the dark for like a half hour. And he said he learned something that night, that the reason people are mean, some people, is because it makes them happy. It gives them pleasure. Don't just gloss over this. I've thought about this many times over. We don't want to admit that there are some people out there that get pleasure by inflicting pain on other people.
I'd like to do that to our interns just to kind of initiate them.
Come on. So,
but listen, there's sick people in this world. We know that. And listen, that's why we need more of the Steve Marshalls, more of the golden TVs that are spreading good energy, good vibes, good aura. And
more comedians, too. I keep reading how they need, not just me, but more comedians. Apparently, laughter is something. I had watched a special on late night TV. There was a documentary on I think it was called something like The Women of Auschwitz. And no, it's not a Playboy pictorial. And it talked about women that, here's the don't behave again also, which is, Why don't you find out what the truth is? Don't just conform. So people would say to me, like sometimes I make jokes, and they'll say, you can't joke about that. And then I'll say, if you had watched this documentary on women that had been in the Holocaust, the young lady interviewing them asked him, did you ever joke around, even though you were in these horrible situations? And they said, yes, we did joke around. Mm-hmm. So humor, think about that one a second. In the most horrible situation of all time, these Jewish women, they didn't give up who they were, their sense of humor. There's something about humor. There's something about humor that saves. When you don't have money, when you don't have hope, humor gives you hope. Rabbi Goldberg from the Boca Raton Synagogue came to see my show. And afterwards, they said, Rabbi, I just feel so guilty. I have a degree in accounting. I turned down a job with Price Waterhouse, which I did. And I feel so guilty that I'm just telling these, you know, these silly jokes on stage every night. And he said, in Jewish religion, sense of humor is valued because sense of humor brings up the spirit in people. And when you bring up people's spirit, they have the strength to fight back. And isn't that, in a way, what we're seeing right now, even in the United States, that some people have the strength and courage now to fight back? Not to they're not advocating hurting anyone, but they have the strength to stand up. Let me tell you this, how important don't behave is. If black people mm-hmm. behaved, they'd still be in the back of the bus. If black people said, we're not going to behave anymore, we're not sitting in the back of the bus anymore, all right? Jewish people saying, we're not going to behave anymore. We're not going to take it anymore. Never again is a total don't behave. Don't behave like that. They tell you to get on the train, you don't get on the train. They tell you to march this way, you don't march this way. Don't behave, never again. I think, and can I say also, here's a great don't behave. You go on radio shows and podcasts all the time, and a lot of these shows are just, they have a host and a co-host. Even though I'm the guest or somebody else is the guest, all the co-host wants to do is make, the host wants to make jokes. The co-host just laughs like a hyena at everything they say. And the guest never gets to say anything sincere. Well, that's another don't behave. If you're a comedian, Lenny Bruce, Richard Pryor, they talked about serious things. You don't have to be telling a joke all the time.
Well, hopefully you appreciate our show because this is a platform for our guests to speak and no one wants to hear me, so.
I don't think that's true. I think you're very kind and very giving, and it's nice. It's nice even to be on a podcast and be able to take a break from speaking and that you can have a pause.
Is this your first podcast?
I've done so many of them.
I thought I was taking your podcast virginity for a second.
No.
You came in as a professional.
No. You want to say something? I never want to be a professional Steve Marshall. I always want to be an amateur, authentic Steve Marshall. This professionalism, there's something we call in art sometimes polishing the apple too much and you polish away the truth. We want to see some of the raw edges. Mm-hmm. When you look at people like Janis Joplin or Jimi Hendrix, you know, let's go to rock and roll. Isn't rock and roll all about don't behave? It's about, they're telling you, oh, play your music lower. So they played their music louder. And they're telling you, oh, you can't sing about that. So rap artists said, you know what? We're sick of this bullshit, corny bullshit. We're gonna talk to our people about things that our people are interested in. And they didn't behave. You know, Jay-Z, he didn't behave. Jay-Z, there were plenty of record companies he went to with his demos. Then he just started selling them out of the back of his car in front of the Marcy Projects in Brooklyn. All right? So how would Jay-Z have advanced if he behaved, if he conformed? So, I'll just write some songs that fit in with what your white people want. And then white people don't have to rap. They can rap if they want to, but sing your song, sing your message. Well, you really got me fired up today.
Hey,
give me the gold hat.
Is it? Well, listen, this is what we do. Listen, I think there's a lot of great golden nuggets, as I like to throw in there, that you're providing. And look, it's a lifestyle. It's a way of a lifestyle change. This is not something just to do often. It's something you have to incorporate. You have to believe, and you have to be a risk taker, and you have to be yourself, be true to yourself, and you have to keep it 100. I like that you have some hip-hop knowledge, too. This guy, who knew?
I'm not a player. I just crush a lot.
I'm learning. We have a basketball court outside the studio, so we might have to shoot.
We'll go shoot around.
I want to see what type of skills you have.
Yeah, when I got broke, I got divorced. I came back from working the LA Improv. And my ex-wife and I always, it was an amicable divorce and everything. And she went on to a great life. She had
kids. Now you're only banging black women.
I am definitely inclusive to all ethnic groups. They are, look, if you spend time, look, I use sex because if I didn't use sex, people wouldn't listen, you know. But I think if you spent time with people from different cultures, including Jewish people, you would find out that we're wonderful people.
What's the best thing you love about sex?
Oh, wow. I love the nakedness. I just love seeing naked women. I am obsessed with breasts. I just love them so much. And just, it's such a beautiful moment because going to school and majoring in accounting and being so analytical, I saw breasts and all of a sudden thinking, it was such a relief. Like joking is like a relief from all the hate in the world. And breasts were just like a relief from all the thinking and all the school and all the, I know it sounds funny, but breasts were a relief from homework. I just looked at breasts and there was no homework to be done. I just loved them.
Did your mother breastfeed you when?
No, she gave.
This is why. No, I think.
No, she gave me a copy of Playboy and two glasses of milk. And my mother was flat-chested, so it might be a rebellion.
Yeah, I think it's some of those complexes. Yeah, we could look into that.
The first time I had oral sex, if this isn't too much for everyone. So I was like a geeky, non-athletic, socially inept kid. So I didn't have sex till I was 20, and I was very nervous. And so the first time I performed oral sex on a young lady, I was very, very nervous. And as I was doing it, I was like, holy shit, I'm a natural. I'm good at this. Yes, God. Yes, God. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. There's something I can do naturally. There's something I don't need a lesson for. Because, you know, a lot of Jewish kids and Chinese kids and Korean kids and maybe many other kids take piano lessons and then they take soccer lessons and then they take baseball lessons. But thank God I didn't have to take any lessons for sex. I was a natural.
Self-proclaimed.
Well, I was in situations where the compliments, I miss.
Let's go back. Brett, you're a breast lover, yes. Fake or natural?
Oh, I prefer natural, but fake or okay. I'm not one of these idiots who goes, yeah, they were fake. I'm not into fake. Fake is very nice also.
Are you, I mean, listen, I'm looking at your stand-up comedy show, and make sure you go to stevemarshallcomedy.com to check out where he's performing around the nation. What I'm getting at is you're getting laid pretty much after every one of these shows, right?
No. Well, I have a girlfriend, so she's really blocked my dating life. Let me tell you something. If you're interested.
Is she on tour with you?
On what?
Is she on tour with you?
She comes. You know, she comes. Yes, she does. Yes. Well, you know what? I think it's very important, you know, when you're on the road, whether you're a rock and singer, a rock and roll, whatever, an artist or a comedian, I try and keep her in the loop as much as possible because it's very difficult to date somebody when you're dating somebody that's on the road a lot.
A long-term relationship is a tough one. Well, yeah, actually, yeah. I think it's absence makes the heart grow fonder. I think it could be the best thing.
No, I tell you, I actually enjoy a couple. She'll get all pissed right.
So
when she
ladies,
this.
We're not putting him on The Bachelor. Steve Marshall is a taken man now.
I'm a taken man, but it's always a nice compliment.
Putting a ring on this finger? Gonna get remarried?
I have nothing against.
She's not gonna listen to this, don't worry.
So she'll listen to this. She will definitely listen to this. You know what? I would get married. I've been asked that several times this week. Yeah, I would get married again. Why not? I mean, if you're lucky enough to find look, what are you going to do? Listen, this is the way life works. You're with somebody, and then you're thinking, I could be sleeping with more women. Then you're single, and you're sleeping with women, and you're going, I just wish I had somebody to come home to. And somebody, don't we all just want somebody who gets us? I mean, even let's talk about your listeners to this podcast. I'm sure there's like 90% of people love the podcast, and then every once in a while you get a knucklehead.
Well, listen, I think
You just want somebody who gets you?
Yeah, but you know what? If you're going to hear from it, it's usually going to be a negative. And most people that are commenting, you talk about those Yelp reviews earlier, it's usually a negative thing, and that's kind of what it comes to.
But what I'm getting at is
embrace
you,
the haters.
You want attention as I do. And you want your listeners.
I want to give my guests the attention they deserve.
You're amazing, man. And I know you mean it, and you've proven that. I'm just trying to relate that to dating someone, which is
You just wanted to not talk about all the. No, I'm just kidding.
You could ask me about. I've been a very lucky. I had vanilla sex probably from the time I was 20 till I was 30, and it was just, you know, very simple missionary style, a little bit of oral here.
Tell me his moves.
And then
what happened? You learned that there's other.
I got divorced and I met a very young lady, and all of a sudden things were changing in the United States, and it became a trend.
Just everyone like started eating ass, so you had to jump on that train.
I'm not against that, but that's not my thing. But a lot of women started wanting to be with other women, and bisexuality became
Stevie, bringing in an extra woman. I didn't see where you're getting at with that.
Yeah. So she did. So initially, and she wanted an extra man, and she was like, and I was like, I can't do this. I thought we were in love. Because that's where my head was at. And then we brought in an extra woman or an extra guy, and it was a lot of fun. And sometimes people challenge me, why do you need somebody extra? You don't need somebody extra, but if you were getting a massage, wouldn't you want four hands instead of two hands? There's so many different things you could do. And so many
more holes to play with.
There are so many permutations of this. So,
Steve Marshall, man, you, I like it, man. You definitely do not behave. I'm telling you, we're finding out now.
I always tell people, take an educated and safe risk to experiment. And also don't do anything. If your partner's not into it, don't do it then. You know what I mean? Don't force anyone to do anything they don't want to do. Well, you've been to my show. Did I tell the anal bead story when you were there?
Remind me about that, because I saw on Amazon we were going to look for some, but go ahead, tell me.
So many years ago, I had a roommate in college who was in the Navy. And this is, again, the don't behave. It just means look for the truth. Stop saying things. You know, you're not gay if you have anal play. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't make you gay.
So Steve Marshall, I think, is going to say, you're not gay if a man puts his penis in your butt. Can you say that?
I'm not going to go that far. I can't. Listen, I'm heterosexual. I live in Greenwich Village in a gay neighborhood. It's the best neighborhood, because when you live in a neighborhood that accepts gay people, they're going to accept everyone. When you live in a neighborhood that accepts black people, they're going to accept everyone. But going back to these anal beads, my friend was in the Navy. And these Navy guys are wild. Talk about guys that don't behave. They are so much fun. And they would go to prostitutes and have these beads put up their ass. Sometimes they would take a kerchief and knot it into knots, and they put it up your butt, and it stimulates the prostate. So when you're about to orgasm, you pull it out simultaneously, and you get a better orgasm. And the reason I like telling this is not for shock value like some other comedians, is because all those homophobic people listening to this podcast, all those homophobic people in the audience, I am totally heterosexual, and I am telling you that one of your Navy men, probably many of your Navy heterosexual men, did this. We've got to break down these false accusations of people. He liked it. So this young lady did it to me, and they wouldn't come out of my butt.
And how you never had the orgasm, or they just stayed up there?
I couldn't have the orgasm because it was so, they wouldn't come out. Apparently, I'm a clamper. And instead of them coming out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it looked like she was trying to start a lawnmower. It was like 1 break, 2 break.
How many beads did you have up there?
I had 5.
Oh my!
And they were huge. So I go like this. I go very gently. I go, honey, can I see the box? Because you don't want to say, like, hey, what the fuck did you put up me? Because then she won't help you get him out. So, honey, you know, can I see the box? I look at the box. I swear to God, I see one word and my eyes go like this. I see large. I go, why the hell did you get large? She goes, she goes like this. She goes like, they didn't look big to me when I bought them. Like she was literally looking at them going, nah, he could take these. So they wouldn't come out.
And ever since then, this is the sound it makes when Steve Marshall farts.
I went to the bathroom. I had 3 hanging out.
I'll let you tell the jokes, by the way.
No, you know what? Everybody's funny. This is the thing. Another thing, we're brainwashing people into thinking because you have the title comedian, you're funny. So I'll be honest. There are probably some people listening to this going, I don't think he's funny. Believe me, my parents didn't think I'm funny. You know, humor is something. Humor is a way, really, of making friends. And when I when I could come on this show and talk about the anal beads, I'm not really talking about the anal beads. I'm going, I really like Evan. I really like our producer. What's your name again?
Noam.
I really like Noam because here I am talking about anal beads and they're smiling. And they're not just smiling. It's the smile and the laughter of love, of I like you, Steve. And I'm smiling back at Evan and Noam, giving you that smile, going, thank you for having me. I like both of you guys.
We embrace your experience with five anal beads. I'm just glad that so they eventually came out, I'm assuming.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to go to how. I had to go to the bathroom and sort of force them out.
Oh, my goodness.
I did a lot of things. So I did, then I went to.
What else have you put in you?
Well, not much because I really am a clamper. It doesn't work.
a clamper.
So I tried doing, you know, I think because I grew up so repressed and I grew up not having sex till I was 20. And my dad died when I was 15. So most of my young life was spent, it took him a couple of years going to hospitals. And my grandmother was very sick from 10 to 12. And my sister and I spent our weekends not playing sports or seeing other kids, or we went to the hospital to visit my grandmother or to visit my father. My father was supposedly diagnosed manic depressive and bipolar. He was put on lithium and Librium, and anybody that knows about lithium or Librium, you have to have the proper dose, and it blew out his kidneys, and he was given shock treatments. And I think this sense of humor, my cousin Howard was aware of what was going on with his uncle. And my Aunt Marilyn, Uncle Abe used to take me weekends because my house was just literally just all about how sick my father is, how sick my grandmother is, and my mother always yelling and screaming and fighting. And my Aunt Marilyn and Uncle Abe took me, and they already had two kids, and we just laughed and laughed and made jokes. My Aunt Marilyn was 5'10", 188 pounds. She was a Jewish pit bull. When my Aunt Marilyn passed away, her son said at the eulogy, my mother was so tough, she could return lingerie at an auto parts store. But that tough woman, she let me be me. She was the first woman I ever heard use the F word. Once she said, we must have been about 13 years old, we were driving in the car, and she said to us, if you two fucking kids don't stop horsing around. And we laughed so hard. It was so cool that she said the F word. We were like, my aunt is so cool. So hopefully when I'm talking about anal beads or I'm talking about having sex or ethnic jokes, I'm just looking for love. I'm just looking for people out there listening to go, the young people go, he's a cool uncle. I could, because you know what? If I can talk about anything, then if I had children or friends, you could come to me with your problems, because I think you can tell I'm so open-minded that if you had a drug problem or you had any sort of problem or you're feeling depressed or suicidal, I hope people would go, I can talk to Steve. You can tell from his sense of humor he's open-minded and he's kind.
Absolutely.
That's what this is all about. My Aunt Marilyn let me come out of that prison at 600 East 18th Street, apartment 1J, and she let me tell every crazy joke in the world, and she was 5'10", 188. She used to laugh and stomp her feet, and my Uncle Abe, very conservative CPA Jewish guy, would go, honey, you're going to get a heart attack. Honey, stop laughing. And we would laugh and eat and cry, and not just Jewish people, Italian people, Chinese people, Korean people, white people at barbecues, white people at cookouts. This really is the American way. You want the American way is to spend time with your family, misbehaving, cracking jokes, kibitzing, eating, right? Not going out and hurting people.
100%. And listen, this is what people need in their life. So go to StephenMarshallComedy.com now. Check out his tour date. Listen, there's no better medicine in the world than laughter. And this is what you could get from Steve Marshall Comedy. One man show. So make sure you go to him, support him. We appreciate your time
coming on the show today.
Also,
my Twitter is at Don't Behave, DONTBEHAV. Please go on Twitter and tell me what you liked, what you didn't like. Please, in a positive, not a positive way, in a kind way, say what you liked about the show. My Instagram is BECALM, BECALM, Don't Behave, BECALM, don't behave. I'll be at the Boca Black Box in Boca Raton Thursday of this week. I think it's July, 17?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. Then I return Friday. You can always find me at Dangerfield's Rodney. I tell you, I don't get no respect. You know, my dog's favorite bone is in my arm. So, hey, Rodney was a guy who was considered a loser. He was portraying a loser because most of us are not Goliaths. Most of us are Davids. We got to support all the small people out there. We're not small. You know, there's a great quote, ordinary people do extraordinary things. Everybody has a Goliath within them. So I'm at Dangerfields all the time. I'm at Broadway Comedy Club in New York City, Greenwich Village Comedy Club. I just got back from the Laugh Factory in Vegas and Reno. SteveMarshallComedy.com. I'm sorry I have to plug the social media.
No, we want to make sure you have followers.
It is so important because today's club owners will book you based on your social media. I could have the greatest message in the world. If people are not coming, they don't want. I always joke about Martin Luther King. If Martin Luther King were a comedian, he would be, I have a dream. And the waiter would go, forget that. You have a 2-drink minimum. So just thanks for having me, Evan.
No, we
Noam,
appreciate
did
it.
I say it correct? How do
Noam.
We?
Like, Noam. Like you know
him. I do know him. I hope everybody knows me better. I can't thank you guys enough
for having
me.
We appreciate your time, Steve Marshall. You are a pleasure. I like your insight. I love the way you're living your life. You're living your life right. I think everyone that's viewing, listening, will definitely be inspired by you and your philosophy of don't behave. Thank you again for joining us on another episode of Talk Golden to Me. Our guest, Steve Marshall, in the house. Amazing philosophy, amazing way of living life. We appreciate you. Like us, stream us, but not about us. I want you to make sure you follow Steve on Twitter, follow him on Instagram. That's all linked back at StephenMarshallComedy.com. We appreciate you. Go see him live. It's like no other. He'll blow your mind. Thank you again. We out of here.
One love, 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 one love. It's golden time. One love, one love, one love. Evan Golden.
All right, that's Steve Marshall. What a man. We out of here.